The Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast. Now there's a reason to celebrate. Just like Chemist Warehouse celebrating the footy finals with the half price cosmetics sale. Hurry in. Sale ends September 24. Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day. This is the Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast.
Now, Pete, there's an app for everything, as we know. And there's a new app that's been created by some people in Melbourne, an Australian app. That might have a few people interested because it's for those Aussies who are looking for something monogamish in their love lives.
Monogamish?
The app is called Monogamish. It's being kind of monogamous. Monogamous-ish. It's basically especially for those who are looking for a non-monogamous relationship.
So it's called Monogamish, yep. But it's if you're looking for a non-monogamous relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's apparently alleged that 40% of people on standard dating apps are actually more likely and wanting to explore a non-monogamy relationship. They would like to have more than one partner, but it's not really the platform for them to do it on. And so this app has been created to specifically get people together who want to live that lifestyle.
Do you suppose this is sort of for the people who are taking it more seriously? The people who are not like, we're after...
Well, those who
not
aren't
the
cheating.
One-night stand ones.
It's not people who are cheating. It's people who have openly got permission with their partners.
And that's the point, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, non-monogamous as a definition is what? The whole umbrella term of multiple people in a relationship.
Yeah, whether right. that's polyamory or whether that's, you know, just sexual encounters or something and not ongoing, but it's just anyone who fits that bill. Yeah.
I think it's a good idea. I like that we have this tech that's available for people to be able to go, you know what, I'm sick of Tinder. I want to go on an app that's actually like suited for me.
Well,
not
yeah,
for me. Good morning,
also,
Liz.
They've put features in there that I think people will find useful because it blurs your face unless you match with somebody. And then it reveals your face. And also, your profile is hidden from your contacts. So you're not going to accidentally end up with people who are in your phone or people that you know in your social circle. And I can see how this would work. A girlfriend of mine was looking for a partner and we were sitting through Tinder and we were looking together and she was showing me. And then I saw a guy come up who was dating another friend of mine. And I was like, ugh. And I messaged that friend and went, don't want to make it weird, but have seen your partner.
Oh, that's very good of you.
On Tinder.
I read that.
And she went, oh, it's not something that we advertise, but we are in an open relationship. I know he's on there. But it was awkward because you do have that moment where you go, I don't know if this is the right thing. Whereas something like an app like that, you actually know what people are looking for. It's pretty clear.
Non-monogamy for me is such a unicorn thing. I can't get my head around it personally. I got nothing against it. I think, hey, you do you. I think this is the world we live in and I love it. I love that people are openly able to just go, no, this is me. This is how I'm going to do it.
Well, but because for me, I just couldn't do it. Monogamy is a social construct, right?
Yeah, but it's a social construct I'm into. You know what I mean?
I'm keen to do the 4-day working week. But I am not keen to throw myself into multiple partners.
But I know there are people out there that are, and I would just love to talk to them. I'd love to talk to them this morning.
Oh, they're happy to chat. They're out there. How good is non-monogamy?
Oh, yes.
If you are going, this is our thing. This is, you know, when you're not confined by that social construct and when you're totally cool with it and your partner is good with it. How good is non-monogamy?
Mariah in Joondalup has called us this morning. How good is monogamy, Mariah?
Monogamy or non-monogamy?
Non-monogamy, sorry.
Non-monogamy is absolutely fantastic. There is a lot of communication in non-monogamy. There is a lot of trust. It's a foundation where you can build on something and you're not worried about cheating. Everyone's honest. So it's much better than monogamy.
I think there's lots of times, Mariah, where people might be afraid of it because they think that, you know, they use it to save a marriage or save a relationship. And that's not the time to use it, right? It's for people who are actually having that trust together already.
Absolutely. It's something that you don't go into lightly. You must have massive amounts of communication. If you're going in there to save your marriage is already broken. It's not going to work. It's like someone trying to have a child to save their marriage. It will not work.
So, Mariah, you were in a 20-year marriage, we've been told, and it was open for 15 years of that marriage.
That's correct.
Now, was it the last 5 years or the first 5 years that it wasn't open?
The first 5 years.
The first 5 years. So what was the catalyst to go, we're going to open our marriage to other people?
Well, my husband at the time actually served overseas, and I explained my needs to him, and he was open to the idea. And then when he returned to Australia, we both decided to go for the complete non-monogamy.
And you know what? It's interesting because you can find your partner, you can find your person and be like, they're fabulous, and not be compatible on that level as well.
Yeah.
And so for some people, that was an opportunity to go, we don't want to throw away all these other things that we have together. We can just have our needs met elsewhere and it be okay if we both agree to it. Mariah, do you find that it has been hard to explain that lifestyle to friends or family if they've asked?
To be honest with you, most of my friends are what we call in the scene, so they're all very open-minded.
Yep.
There is only one family member that knows about it, and that's because they found out when I had a friend over, so to speak.
Oh, yes.
Yep. So they found out in a very awkward way. They don't like it, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm an adult. I make my own decisions. I'm not hurting anyone. So it's difficult. Like, obviously, I have to keep my professional life completely separate. There are a lot of judgmental people in my professional industry. Mm-hmm. But with regards to my personal life, pretty much most people know what's going on.
Yeah, right.
Mariah, did, if I hope you don't mind me asking, did the non-monogamy play a part in the demise of the marriage ultimately? We've been told that you're in a new relationship now, or was that completely unrelated?
Completely unrelated. My husband actually suffered massive mental health issues, which we tried to make it work for a very, very long time. In fact, I was celibate for the last 3 years of our marriage because of my own mental health issues. Wasn't Wow. actually a choice. A non-monogamous relationship has issues the same as any other relationship. The people that break down in those relationships generally aren't from non-monogamy. They're generally from everyday issues the same as everybody else experiences.
Yeah, of course.
Did you have kids, Mariah?
No, unfortunately, I couldn't have children.
Okay, right. So, look, there's so many questions. So, Mariah and Joondalup, 20-year marriage. The first five of it was not open, and then they turned it into a non-monogamous relationship. We're talking how good is non-monogamy. Pete, Matt and Kimber. If you're a Fantails fan, or if you actually feel anything at all in your heart and your soul, if you have one.
How dare you?
It's an emotional day for you, and I get it, and I'm putting my arms around you.
The end of an era for an iconic Aussie chocolate. After 93 years on our shelves, Nestlé has announced Fantails will be discontinued from next month due to a drop in sales.
Probably an even tougher day for the woman who has to justify the decision to take Fantails off the shelf. She's the Nestlé spokesperson, and she's been very kind to join us this morning. Margaret Stewart, good morning. Thank you for your time.
Good morning.
Margaret,
how are you?
We're great, but
terrible.
Have you been up
No, we're not great. Kimber's great, Margaret. Kimber's having a great time. She's been wanting this day for years. I don't know why, but I'm sad. I'm in a state this morning.
Margaret, I mean, have you been up all night wondering how you're going to deal with this and how you're going to nurse people when they're feeling so upset like Pete is about the loss of Fantails?
You know, we're all sad because all of us that grew up in Australia grew up knowing Fantails, and every time you open it, you just have to read that wrapper. So, of course, it's sad, but at the same time, what people are buying in lollies and what they want to eat is changing and moving on. And so I also get the fun of launching new products too. So,
are you going to give us some sort of scoop, Margaret? Are you going to say this is the latest thing coming out?
There's new things all the time. One of our favourites right now is Berry Snakes Alive. So instead of just the mixed bag of five, just a berry specific mix, because people absolutely love Snakes Alive.
Oh. Margaret, I see what you're doing here. I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing.
Just trying to distract you.
Yeah, trying
from
to distract
the pain.
Me from exactly what's going on. Are you gonna? Are you going to open a Fantail today?
I will definitely be cracking a Fantail today for old time's sake.
I just want you to know that my heart is breaking as you crack that Fantail open today.
I'm wondering who will my last Fantail star be. We'll still be making them into the middle of next month, so the factory's going to still be producing, and then they'll be on shelf basically till they run out.
Margaret, is there a chance that we could create a Pete, Matt and Kimber Fantail wrapper before the end of production?
oh, that's such an awesome idea. But we'd never be able to get it printed in time. But, you know, we could dummy up one on a bit of A4.
This is it.
You know, the West Australian the West Australian does a print every night, Margaret. Every night we can do a print. But look, we do have something we want to raise with you, Margaret, because we've put it to our family this morning. We've put it to our Mix fam and our listeners and said, look, if you had to throw another lolly under the bus and keep Fantails instead, what do you want to get rid of? So do you mind if we just give you a short collection of the ones people are happy to sacrifice so that we can keep Fantails?
Knock them out.
All okay. Right, have a listen.
Sherbys.
Kylie and Butler, what are you willing to sacrifice in order to keep Fantails?
Milk bottles or the bananas.
Okay, so Sherbys, milk bottles, bananas. Please, Margaret, anything but not our beloved Fantails.
I'm sorry. The sad, sad fact with the Fantail is its equipment's really old, and we've been going everywhere to get spare parts and hold it together with duct tape and coat hanger wire, but the time's come where their equipment is not going to do it anymore. And together with declining sales, it's sad.
Declining sales?
Sales are about to boom. No, that's the thing.
Here's what I hear, Margaret, right? Poor equipment, declining sales. Now, I know people in the equipment industry, right? If I can get the equipment fixed, and if I can get a run on sales, is there any chance we could keep it?
If you can do that, you could also achieve peace on earth, and that would be fabulous.
All right, let's start small and work our way up to the.
Margaret, can you start on that dummy print of the Pete, Matt and Kimber Fantail lolly, please?
Working on it today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. I'd love to see it. That might be just the one thing that keeps me coming back to buy Nestle products.
It's not Margaret. The first time we've asked the question, who are we?
Very much. Well, Margaret, this is a hard one to face the furnace on a day like this. So we really appreciate your time and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Earlier this week, you revealed to us that you'd bought a chainsaw.
Yeah. You need anything done. You want me to take the legs off your table, kitchen table too high, I'll sort it.
You're good to go.
Anyone around here needs to come down a peg, I'll get them out at the knees.
Right, okay.
I am a machine with a chainsaw.
Yep. You're a machine with a chainsaw.
Yeah, and I want to thank Yvonne, who sent me a beautiful message on Facebook to say thank you, because you're an inspiration to all the ladies out there that have not been feeling brave enough to pick up a power tool. Mm. You can do it. You can do it.
Thank you, Yvonne. We appreciate that. We then yesterday opened up something brand new, which is Kimber's Chainsaw Services. We're going to send you out on Monday. But we had a myriad of calls.
We have two trees that have two orange council markers on saying that they're encroaching a little bit close to power lines.
I've got a garden full of palm trees that I absolutely hate. My partner loves them, so I'd love Kimber to come out and cut them all down while he's at work.
Well, I bought a Tahitian lime when my baby was born, and it's not a Tahitian lime. Drops heaps and heaps of fruit, has lots and lots of big ugly spikes right next to the kids' cubby house. Has to go.
All right. How tall is it?
Oh, gosh. The cubby house has a deck on it, but you just chop it off at the base, I'm sure, and just fall over.
All right. So we're fully booked, Kimber. I can tell you this now. Kimber's so Chainsaw Monday, Services, Monday is fully booked.
I mean, look, the thing is, though, bud, like, you know, I've only had chainsaw experience in my own backyard. Mm. I'm not a professional tree lopper. Mm. And every time you pick up a chainsaw, you're in danger.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, what happens if I go out and something is like, it's dangerous and something happens to me?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'd like to educate you this morning. This morning, I would like to do Aumi Chainsaw. Now, occasionally on this show, we like to whip out the Aumi. And we do Aumi thumb, so if you've hurt your thumb, or Aumi eye, if you hurt your eye, or Aumi backside, if you hurt your backside. That was interesting, the time that we did that. This morning, I'd like to do Aumi chainsaw. So if something has happened, if you've had an accident while having a chain or using a chainsaw, it's time for an education. Let's find out what you're really in for, Kimber, because we know that chainsaws kick.
They do. They're dangerous.
So we're doing Aumi chainsaw. So Emma in West Pinjarra, good morning to you. Emma, what happened?
Hey, how you going? My husband at the time and I were cutting my mum's tree down in Perth, and I was standing, so I wasn't holding it, so I was standing on the side. I was kind of wedged between a fence and the sheds. So I wasn't really liking where I was going, although I was a spotter, so I had to see where it was going to make sure it was okay. So as soon as he's gone through the tree, usually when he cuts, he would put it right through, but this time he took it out because it was falling the right way. So I just went to stiff and move off, and it went straight into my leg.
What happened?
So basically, I just, you know what? It just felt like someone just hit my leg. I didn't feel any pain because it basically just cuts the nerves straight away because it kind of
did you hear
melts
that?
It. Sorry, it just melts the nerves straight. Yeah, basically, just, sorry. So I didn't feel it, although I didn't naturally put my foot down. I couldn't see blood as such, like it literally just sealed it up straight away. Uh-huh. So I had to wait for an ambulance, and they said if I'd actually put my foot on the ground, my bone would have shattered because I actually went into my bone and partway through. Yeah,
wow. Okay, so, Emma, thank you. This has been truly disgusting.
Kimber, so, you're, I mean, the bad news is you'll cut your nerves, but good news is you'll fuse them so you can't feel anything.
Mm. So, I should say, when I watched the YouTube videos of how to, they specifically said, don't stand anywhere closer than 5 metres of someone holding a chainsaw. Uh-huh. So that was rule number one.
Okay, we'll all stand back on Monday. So that's good.
Okay.
Jacob in Bankshire Grove, Army chainsaw, you were cutting wood for a fire. What happened?
Well, I was cutting wood for a fire, mate, for me dad's house. And I was cutting through an old pallet. And all of a sudden, the chainsaw gripped. Pallet ripped up, came up, nail straight through the eyebrow, almost through the eye, and then underneath, nice little scar.
Whoa!
Oh, Jacob.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, that's the other side of it, isn't it? You know, you don't have to watch for the chainsaw, you got to watch for your cut and Kimber. All right, so we're learning things here this morning. This is great. This is educational. Pamela in Jandakot.
This is horrible.
Tell us what
Good
happened.
Morning.
Good morning, Pamela. It's nice to hear from you. Tell us what happened with Army Chainsaw when you were in the Girl Guides.
Oh, yeah. So 1980s, this is way before work health and safety and an issue with a 12 or 13-year-old operating a chainsaw. I did have a spotter, though, at the time, although she was less use than an ashtray on a motorbike. So she was holding the piece of wood while I was operating the chainsaw. She moved the piece of wood. I didn't see her. The chainsaw right through the top of my hand. I still have the marks on my hand now, and that was in 1983. But a couple of hours after that, I get over it. We were made of hard stuff in Scotland. We then had to empty the portaloos. Again, I was coupled with this less than useless person. She drops her end because it's full of piss and shit. She drops her end. Her end of the portaloo lands on the ground. The piss and shit fly up in the air.
I don't think you can keep saying
Once
it, Pamela.
Enough.
I thought if I said it quickly with an accent, you might not notice.
Okay, so...
I mean, the good news is Pamela still has a hand.
Yeah, yeah.
What a cracker.
You got any follow-on questions you want to ask Pamela, or shall we just move on?
I think we've got to move on, but oh my goodness.
Army chainsaw, tell us what happened. Leonie in Forestfield. Now, I'm reading here from the producer's former neighbour, so I'm a little bit nervous about what Army chainsaw's going to mean.
Did they die?
No. I just moved house, so they're still around.
So what happened?
I had a really, really old house which had 20-year-old roses, which I used to be out there every weekend pruning them because, you know, that's what you have to do. And he considered himself to be quite the gardener, and he came out with the chainsaw and said, look, you don't need to do that. You just have to take them off from here and go through the centre and it's all great. And so I'm like, okay, cool, great. And so that's what he did. However, as he swung the chainsaw through all of these roses, he swung around a bit too much and went straight through his knee. basically kneecapped himself.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, shattered his kneecap, ended up in surgery and on crutches for about 3 months or something. It was pretty. Unlike the other lady, he did bleed a lot.
Yikes. Do you know anything that you hear goes through a knee or the back of an ankle makes me feel so sick?
Stephen Yanchip, Army chainsaw, what happened to your foot?
Yeah, well, probably about 35 years ago, I was managing a mill down in Pemberton and all, and I was out getting some firewood with my sister and my friend or whatever. And as you do, you put your foot on the log or whatever to steady it or whatever, and I started up as always, starting and cutting through or whatever, and the log was a little bit wet and the chain jammed, so I pulled it or whatever, and as I pulled it out or whatever, it come out or whatever and cut my leg just under my ankle and all, it was hanging there by a proper piece of skin or whatever. So my sister rang the ambulance and all up and all, the doctors and all, and they got the ambulance and they had to come out, and then 4 hours later, whatever, 45 stitches going there. And even now, up to this stage, whatever, now when the cold sets in or whatever, I just get the arthritis coming through it or whatever. So it's hanging
on. Steve, okay. I mean, that, you did a great job of getting the story out quickly, but oh my God, did he brush over the part where he basically said his foot was hanging by a piece of skin?
Yeah, thanks for bringing it back, Kimber. Thanks. I mean, you know, we're all sitting here going, oh, glad he got through that one quickly. We're not just talking about his foot. Tony and Camillo, your family's got a firewood business. Army chainsaw, what do you got for us?
Yeah, when I was 16, I was trained and everything to quit using a chainsaw, and we were cutting firewood in the out in the bush. And what happened is the tip of the bar hit another piece of wood and flung the tip of the bar up towards me right side of my head. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't have my elbow locked, it would have gone right through me. I got 27 stitches, and I was about 8 mil from my skull.
Oh, mate.
Tony.
Yeah. Oh, Tony.
Whoa.
Oh, geez. I'm glad you got through that one okay.
Can I just reiterate, it was you guys, you and Matt and Rami and Kerrod, that thought it would be a great idea to start Kimber's Chainsaw Service.
I didn't say it wasn't my idea. I just came in this morning. Rami
said
we're doing this.
I get through a few lily pillies at home, and I come on air and I'm a little overconfident, and now this.
No, I just think it puts you in a good place, puts you in a really good, responsible place come Monday when we take you out and you start chopping through people's stuff for Kimber's Chainsaw Services. It is Thursday, September 14, which is also Are You Okay Day.
Yeah.
Today. So ask somebody if they're okay, but it might also be the reason why you see people wearing yellow today. And good morning to my mum, Mama Tete, because we're staying there at the moment while my wife is off in the UK, who is currently, as we speak, organising a yellow T-shirt that I forgot about for my daughter, Mila.
Oh, because they're all dressing in yellow today.
Yeah.
And she was going to be the one left out.
Yeah. And so that's not going to happen.
Well done, Dad.
Yeah, well done, Dad. However, that's not the reason why my daughter was crying yesterday. This is, right? And 131060, parents, get ready. But instead of kids say the darndest things, we're going to do kids cry over the darndest things this morning. Oh,
it doesn't take much for them to lose it.
So we did our cheeky Wednesday stopover at 7-Eleven after I picked Mila up from school yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, you can pick yourself a treat. So she bought a pack of Gobstoppers. Now, you know when you pop a Gobstopper into your mouth, you suck it for a little bit, it changes colour.
Yep.
Right? So she popped a red one into her mouth and she went, hey, Dad, check this out, and poked it out and went, it's a red one. My tongue is now red. And I said to her, no, it's green now, right?
Oh.
Now, she took it out of her mouth and looked at it, and she had a serious look on her face, like she wasn't too happy, and she threw it back in the box.
Oh.
Now, then she handed the box over to me. Now, I looked at it, and I went, oh. And I pulled it out, and I threw it in my mouth, and I chewed it, and I swallowed it.
Okay.
And she immediately burst into tears.
Because it's not yours.
Right. No. It gets better than this. I said to her, but you didn't want it. You put it back in the box because it was green and it wasn't red. And she goes, no, actually what I was doing was saving it for later because green is my favorite color.
Oh, no.
Right. Now, she literally took it out of her mouth when she found out that it was green.
Mm-hmm.
And started saying to me, I don't want this, and put it back in the box. Now, what am I supposed to do? I went, I'm going to save the rest of the Gobstoppers here because there's a whole box of Gobstoppers, like the first couple. Pulled it out, popped it in my mouth. I'm taking the sacrifice here for the rest of the Gobstoppers. No. And she started crying. It's her favorite color. She was saving it for later.
I recommend, Pete, that you follow a Reddit post called Why My Kid Is Crying. Right, it's a subthread there. So, because what it is they encourage parents to post a photo of your kid crying and then just simply write in one sentence the reason why your kid is crying.
Imagine what this has got.
These are some of
the
examples.
Go on.
Someone posted a picture of their kid and it says, because I wouldn't let her play with the cat's butthole. because I said my favorite color is blue, but her color is also blue and she wants blue for herself. My kid is crying because I wouldn't let her run into the street.
Uh-huh, yeah.
There is this one, because I made ravioli.
Yeah.
That was enough. Or the one of both three-year-olds are inconsolable because they both want to hold the bag of poop that I'm taking to the bin.
Well, I was literally there with Ollie two nights ago after I'd changed his nappy, and it was a messy one.
Oh.
And he burst into tears because I wanted to take it to the bin instead of him. He wasn't allowed to. I've had another classic from Isabella where I'll never forget this. I was getting her a pear and I took the stem off the top of it.
Oh, how dare you.
And she chucked one of the world's greatest tantrums that I've ever seen because I'd taken the stem off. So I had to go and get a toothpick because it was the only pear left in the fridge. And I stuck the toothpick on the top and then guided the stem on top of the toothpick and gave it back to her. Perfectly fine.
Wow.
Kids cry over the darndest things.
They're so unstable.
Kelly and Maylands, kids cry over the darndest things. Tell us about your daughter.
Bella, she was 4 years old and crying because she wanted to drive the car.
Emily and Armadale, why was your son crying?
My son cried because he was turning 5 and he wanted to turn 7.
How do you guys keep a straight face?
You don't. Chase, 11-year-old Chase in Hilbert. Good morning, mate. Tell us about your younger brother.
Oh, so he always watches Kung Fu Panda, but he wants Fa Lung on Kung Fu Panda, but he doesn't like him, and he always cries about it. And he also, when it's Saturday...
Sorry, we lost you for a sec there, Chase. When it's Saturday, go on.
When it's Saturday, he always asks why it's not Monday, and he starts crying.
Julia and Dianella, why is your daughter crying?
Because she isn't allowed to eat raw chicken.
How dare you, Julia? What a ridiculous... Parents are so mean.
Shania, this will be good. You work in childcare, right? So kids cry over the darndest things. Tell us about it.
So it was actually Are You Okay Day a few years ago, and we've been teaching the kids how to ask people, are they okay, using hand gestures as well. And later in the afternoon, I had a 3-year-old come over to me, absolutely sobbing. She was beside herself. And all that she could get out was, he said, are you okay? In a very mean voice.
Are you okay?
Are you okay?
Yeah. I had to ask her if she was okay at the end of that. Pete, Matt and Kimber.
They will be there. HBF Park, Saturday, November 11. Of course, I'm talking about Boys to Men. For Australia's biggest party, it's coming back, powered by Macca's. R&B Fridays presents Fridays Live. And from Boys to Men, Wanye joins us, Kimber.
Wanye, we're thrilled to talk to you. I could not have been more excited when we got the word that you'll be performing live at R&B Fridays presents Fridays Live. This is such a big event and we have been waiting for you. Are you excited to come and check out Perth?
It's been too long. Just put it like that. It's been too long and I can't wait. Come out there. I love Perth. Perth is one of the places that we have a lot of fun in Perth every time we come.
If you say it's been too long, when was the last time you were here?
Oh, man, it had to be about 8 years, I would say.
Yeah.
It's been too long. I mean, yes, maybe a little bit over 8 years.
Well, for my generation, I mean, Boys to Men made a cappella and harmony groups super cool. Were you well received from the beginning, or did it feel difficult to get music reps over the line? Because it was quite a different sound at the time.
Yeah, well, the only reason why we actually were doing a cappella is because we couldn't afford music. we couldn't afford the producers and everything like that. So, you know, we were like in high school and we would sing, you know, in high school classical music, and we knew how that sounded. We all were music vocal majors, and we all sang different ranges. So once it came time for us to actually sing together, it was kind of like a no-brainer. We already knew where to go. So it was pretty solid, you know. But at the end of the day, it became the nucleus for Boys to Men. It became that thing that set us aside from all of the other groups in Philadelphia at the time.
Wow.
Wanye, which was the song where you guys did it, you performed it for the first time, maybe it was somebody's house in their garage or something, and you went, this is the one. Like, this is the one that is going to launch us.
Well, it's not necessarily launch us, but when we were in high school, again, like I said, we would do like little talent shows and things like that. In our school, high school, they did a kind of like a little a show that they do every year called Sentimental Journey. And we went on stage and sung Can You Stand the Rain by New Edition. And once we did that in the crowd, the same girls that we were in class with, they were screaming and crying and reaching for us. And we looked at each other and said, okay, I think maybe we can try this out for a living. You know what I mean? It was addictive, definitely.
Wanya, everything that you're saying right now, okay, I've got to tell this story. You talk talent show.
Let's go.
You talk the girls screaming at you. So myself and another girl from the school, St. Norbert College here in Perth, had to co-host a student skit night, right? Talent show. The ongoing story through the night was that I was interested in her, and by the end of the night, I get the girl. But the way that moment happened was I was on stage, curtain goes up, I'm standing there with a rose, and I sing this to her.
Oh. Bit inappropriate for high school, but sure, mate.
We were year 12. It was good. It was good, right? Mate, it bloody worked.
Works every time.
It bloody worked because that weekend I bumped into her at a party, and she was my first kiss. We hooked up.
There you go. You
so,
see?
Mate, you worked guys, you had time. It. You absolutely had it. You knew what you were doing when you were writing these songs. Did you know it was... Was it always a thing for you guys that it was love songs? Is that just where you naturally went to?
Yeah, it was, because all we wanted to do was sing to girls. You know what I mean? I mean, what guy group back in the 90s wanted to sing to a bunch of guys? You know what I'm saying? unless you were a rapper.
Now, well, you know, you hear athletes say they've had enough children to make a team. You've got six children, and your four sons, I believe, are in an R&B group together. Yes. So you've had a very musical house.
Well, actually, I have nine children. So,
oh, do you?
Let's clear
nine.
That
up. Nine kids. Wow. Mate, my hands are full with three. How do you go with nine?
Hey, man, you know, I started very young.
That's what happens when you sing love songs, kids.
Actually, he got them girls.
Exactly. I actually have a son in Sydney.
Oh, great.
Yes,
wait,
I have an Australian-born son in Sydney, Australia. His name is Nairi.
Wow.
Yeah. And now I live in Vegas, and I have another child, so that created my nine-piece. I got a nine-piece chicken McNugget.
And we know what the secret herbs and spices are, mate. It's this stuff.
Exactly. You better believe it.
Hey, Wanya, from Boys to Men, we can't wait to have you here at R&B Fridays Presents Fridays Live alongside Jason Derulo, Kelly Rowland, Flo Rida, and many more. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you, man. It's going to be off the hook, and I can't wait to get there, guys. Just be ready for it.
I would love to hear from somebody who has won a year's supply of anything. If you've won a year's supply or a lifetime supply of something, or you know someone who has, tell us how much they actually got.
What about that bloke? Was it Crispy? When was Crispy?
Oh, the Krispy Kreme guy.
Krispy Kreme Perth guy?
Yes. He was a student. We spoke to him at the time. If he's still out there.
This was 2014, wasn't it?
Yes. 2014, Whitford's, and everybody lined up. And the first person in line got a year's worth of Krispy Kremes. The second person in line got 6 months' worth. And the third person got 3 months' worth.
Geez, not bad.
And I don't remember how many donuts it is. I believe at the time, I think he was a uni student, and he was like, I'm just going to take donuts.
If you're a uni student and you're getting a year's worth of Krispy Kreme donuts...
All
you
the parties are at your place.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to know how much it really is. I did a little bit of research online. Mm. I saw that in America, they were saying someone won a free smoothie when they opened a smoothie joint. They
like
got
a year's worth of free smoothies.
They got 52 smoothies.
That's one a week. That's not enough. I'm sorry. That's not enough if you're winning a year's worth of smoothies.
But 52 seems to be the standard. There was a Mexican food joint that gave away 52 burritos.
I reckon a burrito a week's enough.
Ben and Jerry's did 52 tubs of ice cream.
Mm.
But the one that I love that is really just... I mean, I hate the company for doing this. Someone won 72 8-kilo boxes. So 72 boxes, 8 kilos each of washing powder, which was a lifetime
72.
Supply of washing powder.
Just thinking about how many sort of boxes we go through, I reckon we're an 8 to 14 washing loads per week family. I reckon that's a good amount. I reckon that's a good amount for your year's supply.
It's a good amount, except the jerks dropped it all off at once. So they got a crate of 72 boxes,
that's
8 kilos
good.
Each. Where do you store that? That means you're just giving it away. Everyone for their birthday that year is getting washing powder.
Oh, well done. Okay, well, have you won a year's free of something? So we got Bria in Hillman. Now, we have mentioned Ben and Jerry's a couple of times.
Ben and Jerry's in America, they gave away 52 pints of ice cream, which they felt an ice cream a tub a week.
Right.
I guess they thought was reasonable. Bria and Hillman, what have you won a year's supply of?
So I won a year's supply of Baskin Robbins.
Okay. What does that mean?
So I got 12 vouchers for 1 litre tubs of ice cream.
12?
A litre a month?
Is that it?
Yes.
Oh my God, I'm overeating. I am overeating ice cream. And a litre a month.
Did they give you? Yeah. Did they give them to you all the vouchers all in one hit, or did they give them feed them to you once a month?
No, just in one hit. We just got a book of vouchers, pretty much.
Okay, right. So how long did it take you to eat 12 months worth of ice cream? I'm saying that in inverted commas.
I think I did it in less than 6 probably.
Yeah, I reckon.
Yep.
That's completely reasonable.
Gee whiz. Okay, Chantel in Averley, what did you win a year's supply of?
I won a year's supply of movies for 4 people.
Oh, movies for 4. That's a good prize.
As in going to the movies, or is this back in the days of Blockbuster?
No, going to the movies. It was with Grand Cinemas.
Okay, was it a good year of movies?
Oh, look, it was pretty good, better than it is at the moment. And I saw every movie that came out that year.
What year was it, Chantel?
Oh, it was a long time ago, probably 15 years ago, like 2007.
2007.
Okay, well, but a good year of movies. You saw everything that came out.
Literally everything. Yeah.
Solid effort. Well done.
Why not? It's free.
Yeah, right.
So for 4 of you, when you say a year's worth for 4 of you to go to Grand Cinemas, was it a heap of like cinema vouchers, or were they saying every time a big hit comes out, or was it once a week? What was it? What did it work out to be?
We could go see a movie a day.
What?
We were given a card, like a little gold card for each person, so we didn't have to go together either. And you could go see a movie a day.
Oh, that's great.
That's a proper...
That is a prize.
Yeah, 100%. Did you ever have days there where you'd go and, like, just for the entire week, just go every single day to go and see a movie?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's heaven.
Oh, in the summer when you're looking for aircon?
Yeah.
Oh,
Oh, good on you, Chantel.
That prize has everything.
And Grand Cinemas, that is absolutely awesome. Nice going. That's a proper, like, year's supply.
It really is.
That's doing it over the top. Hang on a sec. A studio phone. Hello.
Hello.
Who's this?
G'day, it's me. It's Mick from Mannington. Hey, I'm on the radio.
Oh, g'day, Mick. Hey, Mick, what have you got a year's supply of?
I've got a year's supply of Prime Energy drinks.
Right.
How's that working out for you, Mick?
Oh, I'm getting heaps done, hey? I'm on the radio.
Actually sounds like you've used them all in one hit, Mick. Are you okay?
All in 1 month, buddy.
Mick, can you give our producers your address? We might need to send an ambulance.
Yeah, okay, buddy, don't worry. I'm on the radio.
It's surprising the amount of people that have called saying, yeah, I want a year's supply of something.
I know, right?
Jen in North Coogee, what was it?
I got a year's supply of bras.
Brilliant. Okay, now...
I think you mean brilliant.
Brilliant. What do they consider a year's supply of? Because this is probably one of those things where I'm going to find out I'm supposed to be replacing it once a month and I'm not.
I got 12 bras.
They are!
12 bras? 12, was that enough?
It's pretty good.
It's a lot. It's good. I hate to tell you, Pete, none of us are rotating through 12 bras a year.
Oh,
none of us.
Oh, well, thanks for the update. Maddie in Pinjarra, what'd you win for a year?
2 pallets of Canadian Club, mate.
2 pallets. Okay, how many bottles of whiskey is that?
No, cans.
Oh, cans, yeah. Cans.
It was 194 cartons.
194 cartons.
Whoa.
How many in a carton?
24.
Jeez. Matthew, how long did they go off, or did you smash through those?
I had a few mates up north, so we had a good party for a year.
Maddie's only just
I don't actually drink Canadian Club no more.
What year was it, Maddie?
So I'm 40 now, so I was 22.
Okay. Wow, 22. Oh, well, okay. Yeah.
Can't even remember the year.
No.
That year was just a total blackout. Now, Christy and Dianella, we mentioned before that you'd given us a call. We had to get to you, okay? So tell us what you won and how you won it.
So back in 2009, I entered a competition with the Hot 30 Countdown, and it was to win your weight in dough. But then if you didn't win that, the second or the backup prizes was a year's supply of bread.
Amazing. So it was,
from Baker's Delight that sponsored that competition. And it was $520. So it was $10 a week for the year.
$10 a week for the year
on bread.
Yeah. Okay. So you had to go into the store each week and pick up bread?
No. They just gave us $520 as like because the whole prize was we flew over to Sydney and then we all had to compete on this like mechanical surfboard to win your weight in dough, which was like $50 a kilo.
Yeah.
And then if you didn't win, then all the other runners up that came to Sydney, we all won a year's supply of bread as a backup prize.
Just curious, Christy, just before the comp, did you chonk up? Did you go, I'm going to make myself festively plump to get $50 a kilo?
No, those cheeky terms and conditions, they kept it. But they even if it was above your weight, you still got it. So it was, I think it was 100 kilos so they or 90 kilos or whatever it was. So the one just under
$5,000. Wow. Gee, wow. Yeah. And so did they give it to you in cash, did they?
They gave us, the
money.
They said, So the radio station gave us, just put it into the bank.
So did you spend it on bread? Did you have a separate account for like $10 a week on bread?
That's what I did. I went into Baker's Delight once a week and spent it. No.
No, you didn't.
What did you really buy, Christy?
Oh, do you know what? Probably hair extensions or something.
That's such a 2009 thing. Oh, that's probably so good.
It's probably still a 2023 thing as well.
Only if you're in Bali, Christy.
No, not for that much.
That's gold. That is absolute gold. Wow.
Yeah, no, that was you guys,
Amazing.
Yeah, okay. There you go. You supply bread.
The Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast. Now there's a reason to celebrate. Just like Chemist Warehouse celebrating the footy finals with the half price cosmetics sale. Hurry in. Sale ends September 24. Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.